The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside. This is issue number 79, X2, X-Men United. John and I recorded this in the middle of last week, and when we started out talking, a lot of things were up in the air as far as comic book stores and John's business in particular. And with everything that's going on, that's how fast these things are changing, because we have since gotten better news that I talked about yesterday morning. But I still think our early conversation in this podcast is still pertinent to a lot of people in the country right now. But once we start talking X-Men, we get into even the latest X-Men. We compare this to what Hickman's doing right now. John and I drop some Brightside science knowledge on you. And breaking news. John Nudie is back. Mr. Skeptical, Mr. Convenient. He's back. He's back in a strong way. And I try to pretzel our way through it. We had a really good time. Took our minds off of a lot of things. Hope it helps you guys too. So let's head into the store. Hey, Mr. Philosophical Creative, how you doing today?
I'm great, man. How are you?
I'm doing okay. What was the one that we had earlier that we don't even know? The second word, we didn't even know what it was.
No, and I couldn't tell you what it is because I don't know what it was. So,
no, it was a word that I've never seen before. Yeah. But philosophical, creative. I don't know if those go together. But
I don't think they do either. Yeah. But
if it's anything, it's you.
Yeah, maybe so.
It's definitely you.
It suits me.
We were just chatting off air.
As we do.
And we had a conversation. We were like, all right, let's do this. So... Well, we were talking
about... To be
about,
fair, you were.
But. Yeah. No, but I thought it was good because... So we were talking about businesses. How is this virus going to change the world? And we both agree that it's going to change. The world is changing.
Yes.
And 2 years, you know, a year or two from now, we'll look back and be like, wow, can you believe we did things? I think it's changing things in the positive for a certain degree. We don't... I mean, it's going to be ramifications for sure. But one of the things that we talked about and made us... hit the record button was you, like we were saying, like a lot of things are going to go more digital, a lot more online stuff. And you made the comment like you don't want to see brick and mortar stores go away. And I started to comment, I don't think all brick and mortar stores go away because people crave that. And I was like, wait a minute, this is something that we need to talk about on the show. I don't think comic book stores will go away for that reason. Because it's an environment that people want to take part in. It's not like, you know what I mean? Like Amazon can replace Walmart because people don't go to Walmart to socialize. They go there to get a product and go home. People go to comic book stores to get the product, but they also enjoy the environment. That's what this podcast is about. Yours might go away. Certain stores might go away and that would be a shame. But I don't think on the whole comic book stores will disappear because it's kind of like a club.
Right. I mean, I don't disagree with you there. But the landscape may make it difficult for these businesses to continue to survive, one way or the other. What we were talking about was that, you know, I just foresee a lot less brick and mortar retailers surviving at the end of all of this and a lot more things transitioning online. And, you know, again, being a brick and mortar retailer, obviously, that's not what I want to see happen, but I have, going back to the philosophical creative title that's showing up here on the screen, but philosophically, like I have two frames of thought on that because, like, as a business person, obviously I need my brick and mortar business to survive and I want people to frequent it. But as a consumer, I don't care if I ever walk into another brick and mortar store again, you know what I mean?
Really?
I would much prefer to do it all online and have it all delivered to my house for the vast majority of goods. Now, again, I'm like you. I don't want to buy my comic books digitally. I want to own them physically. But I'm okay never going to Walmart again and having Amazon bring every bit of that to my front door.
You right. know?
So I have two different thought processes when it comes to
But right. And that's what I was saying. It's, to me, it's like the comic book store is an environment that you want to go to. I've actually gone to comic book stores, not bought anything, just had the I wanted to get down there to have a conversation with somebody, you know? And it's like, right. I mean, I do it every, I haven't bought anything off you in months.
Right.
And I talk to you every week.
Right.
But you know what I mean? It's, I think that type of environment, believe it or not, I think a place like Best Buy, I actually prefer to go in and buy my electronics and see them, and they're tangible thing. And I want to hold it and like look at it and see if I want that piece, as opposed to like, yeah, you can buy it online and it gets delivered to your house. But there's something about that for me. So I'm not saying that's for everybody. Like maybe Best Buy is not for everybody, but I do think there's something to the shopping, going out and shopping experience that it'll be lesser, but.
I would have said that I agree with you when it comes to the Best Buy thing, but I just bought my entire home theater sight unseen online without listening to a single piece of it. So, you know, again, before Christmas, I would have agreed with you because I, you know, I'm the same way. I want to go in and look at the TV. You know, all the reviews don't do justice to what I can see with my own eyes, but I did just the opposite when it came to all my audio equipment. I read the reviews, I found stuff that was highly rated, and I bought it, you know, without listening to any. Now, I had the opportunity to return it all if I didn't like it, but you know, I could see myself doing the same thing with a television set, too, in the future. You know, I don't, like I said, certain things will always, like, well, I mean, I was going to say you can't substitute restaurants, but you can, because now we have DoorDash, so, I mean, technically, you could live in a world without restaurants, too, open to the public, but who wants to do that? Because they're social gathering places.
Exactly.
And that's where certain things will, you know, that's where like a comic book store or a game store and things like that could possibly continue to thrive. But economically, you know, because you made the comment a minute ago that you've been into a comic book store without buying anything. Well, too much of that keeps the store from being open. So,
yeah, but
I mean, and I know what you were saying, but I'm just saying like, it can't all be about the social gathering aspect of it. You know, the commerce still has to take place. And, you know, I just don't know if, you know, if a giant chunk of, let's say going back to comic book stores, because that's what started this. You know, if a giant chunk of stores don't survive this, I don't know if it's fiscally responsible for Marvel and DC to continue to print floppy comics, you know, because if they don't have shops to send them to, you know, at what point, you know, the readership was already dwindling. Like, numbers were already going down before the coronavirus was even a blip on the radar. So, you know, does this just become the death knell for that stuff? And I certainly hope not, you know, for a lot of reasons. But I'm
one really big one?
Yeah, but I'm not as positive about it as I was before. You know, I am starting to see possibilities where, you know, this could come about. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, brick and mortar retail will never 100% be eradicated from the planet.
Right.
But I could just see there being a lot less of it. And, you know, we were talking earlier today about the big chain stores that were all starting to just disappear, you know, and malls that are just emptying out because these stores are just disappearing because of online shopping. And, you know, I just think there's going to be a lot less brick and mortar standing a year from now than there was in January of this year. You know, and a lot of it's going to have to do with this virus. You know, and again, it's not even because, you know, I hate to keep saying things we were talking about off air, but, you know, even with your business before we started, it's not even just the day we get to reopen.
Right.
It's how long it takes for things to get back into swing, even after the day when, you know, we get to open our doors again. It's not like we open on May 1st and all this money just starts pouring in because supply chains have to open back up, product has to start flowing again, and, you know, the time it takes for all that to happen just may be too long for people to be able to survive it, you know?
I like I said to you before, I hope that because everybody is going through this, it makes it harder to lose everything.
Right.
You know, like, Nat, you had made the comment earlier, like, if you lose your business, you wanted it, you'd want to lose your business because you screwed up.
Right.
Not because of something like this. You want it to be your responsibility, not because of this. That to me, that, yeah, that's very admirable to look at it that way. Like, you want it to be your responsibility. But I think that because this is a global thing, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a lot harder. I think we should all be making it a lot harder for people to be losing their businesses. There should be a lot more forgiveness. And I think there will be. Because there's, everybody, like I said to you earlier, like, we're one link in the chain of events. And if you lose your business, people on either side of you are losing too.
Right.
So I think there's going to be a lot of forgiveness, and it's hard. This is going to be very, very hard. But I think if you come out of it everybody's going to have to work hard. You're going to have to work hard at your business. I'm going to have to work hard at my business. It's going to be uncomfortable. But when you come out on the other side of it, we're all going to have learned something from it and hopefully be stronger for it. And,
right.
You know, the world's going to be different, no doubt about it. But I think, especially as you see now, like, people are trying to support as best they can, but right. We don't know the end of this. I think the real support that we're going to see is when there is an end and we're all rebuilding our businesses back and rebuilding our lives. Maybe you don't own a business, but you're out of work and right. We're all rebuilding our lives back. I think that's where we're going to see the support from each other.
Yeah. Well, I hope, right. That's what we're all crossing our fingers for right now is how, like I said, to see what happens when we all come through the other side of this. Like I said, it's just, the time frame is what's the unknown, because we don't know how long this is going to be.
Right.
And, you know, again, unfortunately, the longer it goes, the harder it's going to be for so many people to come out of it. Because, you know, again, even going back to, like, you talk about forgiveness. Well, I mean, my landlord might forgive me, but he might go bankrupt and he might lose all his stuff. And then still, where does that leave you? You know what I mean? It's like, you just don't know how everything goes up the chain. Like, we all... Like I said, we all feed off of each other, and we all kind of feed up, you know,
right.
So to speak.
Right.
But, you know, even, you know, if the top crumbles, then what happens to the bottom? And I think that's what we're worried about.
Right.
You know? So.
All right. So, yeah. In today's bright side news.
Yeah, more depressing stuff, but.
All right. So that was good. So what, anything else in news?
No. I don't think so.
All right. You want to get to X-Men? X2?
X2, yes.
Yeah, and we'll play this trailer. And
all
then
right.
Try to forget the world for a minute and go into the world of mutants.
There you go.
All right. So let's play this trailer. We'll come back and we'll have a nice conversation for a little bit.
Sounds good.
Doesn't it ever wake you in the middle of the night? The feeling that someday they will pass that foolish law and come for you and your children. Take you all away.
It does indeed. I feel a great swell of pity for the poor soul who comes to that school looking for trouble. What's happened to you?
Don't you remember?
You should have killed me when you had the chance!
I'm not gonna kill him, Bobby!
No! No!
Welcome, Professor.
You haven't told him about his past.
Who is he?
I can't remember.
Sometimes anger can help you survive.
The war has begun. Eric, what have you done?
So what did you think? What do you think of it? Did you,
I liked it.
Did you anticipate this movie when it was coming out?
I liked the first one. And, you know, again, this was in a time where we weren't getting tons of superhero movies every year. So
I think X-Men was the first big one.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, after Blade. Again, Blade kind of gets overlooked a lot now, but.
Right.
You know, Blade was pretty good success. I mean, they made three of them, so.
Right.
A pretty big success. And, you know, obviously they were comic book movies, but, I mean, they get overlooked a lot when people talk about comic book movies. So, yeah, X-Men and then Spider-Man came out, right? And then this one came out. So we weren't getting them all the time like we do now. So I was definitely excited for this because, like I said, I thought the first one was pretty good. You know, going back and looking at what we've gotten since then, I wish they would have taken a little bit more comic book accuracy with these movies when they made them. But yeah. I do understand why they made the decisions they did. I know why they did what they did, but we've seen since then, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, but,
right.
You know, Marvel was able to put whatever goofy costume on screen they wanted and it just worked. So I think if they would have done these with more comic accurate costumes, I would have.
But it was cool
that.
At the time. It's like, yeah. We loved what they did at the time. And then they
That's
made the
saying.
Jokes about it yeah. in the movie. And right. I like that it's not as comic accurate. And yeah. it's its own story. It's kind of separates it from the comics a little bit.
Well, it'll be easier to separate it from what comes next because the comparisons won't really, like, I don't think people will hold the comparisons the same way because what we get next will definitely be comic accurate. Like Marvel will put Wolverine in the, you know, well, one, whatever version of the suit they use, I don't know, but.
Right.
It'll either be the brown and orange or it'll be the yellow and blue.
Yeah.
You know, but we'll get something comic accurate on screen, you know, the next time we see them. So I don't think people will hold the comparisons the same.
You know what's funny? When I was watching this movie, I don't know why this popped in my head, but I kind of think it was because we have so much, you and I especially, have so much like animosity right now for the X-Men in the books and,
oh, yeah.
and like reading it. When House and Powers came out, I was saying, this is going to be the new X-Men, the movies,
right?
And because those movies probably aren't coming for like 3 or 4 years. And yeah, by the time they come out, these books will have been out for a while. And now I'm kind of like, I don't want that.
Yeah. I agree with you.
You see what I'm saying? And,
yeah.
But, and here's the part. Now watching X2. It just kept popping in my head. I'm like, this is what the comics are missing right now is this interaction with humans.
Right.
I really feel the longer the X-Men books go right now, they're getting further and further away from what X-Men were. And this movie really shows it where you have Bobby sitting with his parents and his mom going, have you tried not being a mutant? And it's
yeah,
like,
which that, I thought was great.
It's a great line because that's what this movie that's what the X-Men are about. It's about the outside, you know, about racial bias or, you know, sexual bias or anything, anybody that felt like an outsider. That's what X-Men is about.
Right.
And what they've done in the recent comics is they've done exactly the opposite of what you want to do. Instead of everybody feeling included, they took everybody that feels different and put them on an island.
Right. Yeah. It's all about, seclusion. Well, they're all secluded.
Right.
Or isolated.
Isolated. And that loses all of the story. Like, what are we... Okay, now they're there.
Well, and that's to be honest with you now, because I know we're talking about the movie and not the comics, but that's the whole... That goes back to what's going on in the comics. Like, I don't even know what the strife is in the... Like, I don't know what the conflicts are, because it's all just mutants living together in harmony. Like, just...
That's
so
what
far,
I mean.
Just, like, nothing's happening. You know, in those books at all. Like, there's no big villain. There's no bad guys. There's
right.
no anything going on.
And that's
on.
Why I like the Fantastic Four book,
right.
where they have that crossover, and there's a little bit of human interaction in there. And that's what I mean. It's like watching this movie, watching X2, it really, and what's funny is it's X-Men United. So it's
right.
kind of like the comics now, where all the X-Men are coming together against the humans.
Right.
But they don't run away to an island. It really, because of, you know, in watching this movie, it really just emphasized how much you need that interaction. You need to have good versus evil,
right.
or whatever you want to call right. it. And
well, there's got to be conflict. You know, I mean, it's not a compelling story with no conflict. I mean, nobody wants to read about everybody just being happy
right.
and harmonious all the time because there's just no story.
Yeah.
It's a pretty short, dull story. You know, as much as we all want to be harmonious in our real lives, like we don't crave conflict in our lives, but that's what we want to see in a story because it's what makes it interesting.
Right.
You know,
exactly. And like our best shows are when we don't agree.
Right.
We create conflict. Although some of those shows take us till 4 a.m. to complete.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why it's nice that we're starting early these days. Yeah. But... Because if it takes us till 4 a.m. now, we're really in, we're never speaking again and yeah. the show is over. Because if we're fighting for 12 hours, we're done.
So back to X2.
Yeah.
So what did you think of the overall story of this movie?
I liked it. I thought it was, you know, really interesting. I liked the idea of, you know, Stryker building Cerebro to wipe, you know, I mean, it was kind of like the master plan, or like Thanos snapping his fingers kind of plan because,
yeah,
you know, there's always been the man against mutant thing, right? But they've never really talked about like total extinction of the mutants on, you know, on a scale like that. Like most of the villains don't have those kind of schemes or mechanisms in place to just wipe out mutants
right.
from existence. But this was a plausible way, you know, for that to happen. Because the logistics of killing all the mutants at once are impossible to put together. And that's why those plans don't happen, because how would you do it? But this, through Cerebro and the idea of, you know, Charles basically obliterating all the mutants at once, I thought was interesting. And I thought this, I liked the, you know, what they were doing there. My question was always, when it happens, does he kill himself too?
Right.
Or is he the last mutant? Is he like X the last mutant?
You know? Yeah. So, I see what you did there.
I know you did.
I also like that it's a standalone.
Yes.
There are threads from, like, they kind of set it up a little bit in one. There's a few yeah. nuggets. But if you didn't see one, you really, this could have just been called X-Men United. They didn't have to name it X2 like this. It really does stand on its own.
Yeah.
And when we do, you know, Last Stand, I think that one kind of stands on. Obviously, there's a huge thread that she
right.
died at the end of this one. But these movies kind of stand on their own. And what I thought about while watching it is that it's much like a comic book. They
right.
made
well,
these movies just like the comic book, so like you can read the book and then...
Well, because prior to the MCU, they all kind of did that, right? Like the idea of interconnecting movies, I mean, yeah, we always had sequels, but they all still could kind of stand on their own. There weren't a lot of movies where they were so interconnected like the MCU created.
Right.
You know, any of the Batman movies you could watch without having seen the prior movies... I mean, I would even argue you could watch Return of the Jedi without having seen A New Hope. Oh, not Empire Strikes Back, rather. I mean...
Yeah. Well...
You know, I mean, the Return of the Jedi is linked a little bit closer to Empire than Empire was to A New Hope. You know, I think...
But that is one long story that got broken right. up into these movies, individual movies, whereas I feel like they made X-Men and then were like, let's just write another story.
Right.
And we'll use the threads. And I think that even the Marvel Universe, each movie is, each hero, I should say, they have their own standalones and then they come together right. in there. So like, you know, the Captain America movies kind of follow the same story, but they are completely separate from the Iron Man and Thor stories. Right.
Right.
So
right.
you do have that, but even the Iron Man stories, they all go together. And if you miss the first one, you might not, you know, you didn't get the entire thing. Whereas
right.
this one here, it's like you just, in the first X-Men movie, you got dumped into the X-Men universe. It wasn't really an origin story per se, because that doesn't come until later.
Right.
So I liked that. I liked, and,
no,
and
I
this
liked
one
it too.
Felt
yeah.
exactly the same thing. We just got right. dumped in the middle of their world, and it's like, oh, here's another issue.
Well, Charles kind of sets him up, Charles set up the first one, because they all start with this little monologue, and I guess Jean did the monologue in this one. But they set you up right when the movie starts. They
yeah.
kind of give you a little bit of, this is what you need to know for this movie, and that's
yeah.
it. So yeah, they very much stand on their own. I think even the reboots are the same way. Like even the First Class movies, they're all pretty separate from each other. Other than the characters obviously all cross over, the actors and characters, but the movies themselves are pretty self-contained.
Yeah, and even, like, there's supposed to be some continuity throughout all these movies. Like, that's supposed to be the same character, but you feel like it's, oh, like almost like an alternate universe type, like right. The different versions of these X-Men, which at the time I didn't really like because I wanted it all to be together. But now right. Where we have these different universes and, you know, you have these, you have the Marvel universe. So there you have your continuity. And in, right. In this, it's all right, cool. They're all one-offs or they're all, there are little stories over here. This is how this happened. Cause when we try to link them, you're like, there's tons of plot holes.
Oh yeah. 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 They're almost like two different franchises, I think.
You right.
Know, the first class movies versus the OG X-Men movies.
Yeah. The OG. And
unless you're Wolverine and then you just show up in all of them, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, even that gets explained away because he's timeless. Like, he's basically immortal. So, like, he can look the same in any era of X-Men movies and just show up and be the same dude. So.
Right. Well, so is Xavier was supposed to be too, but not.
Well, he aged, though. You know, even in the comics, like, there was young Charles and older Charles. And, you know, he kind of looked different. But, you know, Logan could always look the same because he pretty much.
Right.
Always looked the same.
He just got to that age and stayed there.
Right, which is weird. Because, like, if you're immortal, when does that kick in? Like, you don't see a lot of immortal babies running around, you know? They all seem to get to adulthood and then they become immortal.
Well, they mature and then they stop. That's just it. It's you don't age. That's part of being immortal. You're still going to mature, but now you don't continue the process to death.
Right, but they all get to their 30s and then they become immortal. You don't see immortal kids and you don't see immortal like geriatrics either. You know, it's like they all get to where they're the most good looking and then they stop.
Right. But
you know,
can I drop some bright side science on you?
Sure.
Okay. And this is really bright side science. There is no facts behind this at all. But basically, as you age as a kid, you're constantly growing. You're growing new cells. You're growing as a body. You're growing. The moment you stop growing, which is like in your mid-20s, when you stop maturing, you are now dying because your body isn't reproducing like it used to. So that maybe is where immortality kicks in. You just never stop. You never stop that part. So you get to maturity, and instead of decaying now, and as you and I know very well, we are decaying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, decaying.
You know what I mean?
So I was procaying, I guess.
It's like once you stop that growth rate, boom. And maybe immortals, they just never get that.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Because it's just funny that you always see, you know, they're always at the height of their good looking.
Unless you go into vampire lore, then it's you're immortal from the time you became one.
Right. Which makes sense. You know.
Right. That sum that up for you?
I mean, that's science right there.
I told you, bright side science. We're
science rules.
I need
to find that sounder.
I know. We're dropping knowledge left and right.
I know it.
Have we had enough Patrick Stewart?
I don't think that point in time exists for me.
No, I know.
Yeah.
No, because what
but
I thought.
But it was funny, because we just watched Picard and.
And had done Logan a few weeks before that.
Yeah. We've gotten a lot of Sir Patrick lately.
Yeah.
But
here's the thing. I think to his credit, it was like halfway through the movie before I realized I'm like, wow, I've done a lot of, cause as much as he's the same, it's still really different.
Yeah.
Than Picard. And I didn't even really know Picard that well when these movies came out. So
no,
I've known him as Xavier first.
See, and I didn't. Yeah. For me, it was always like he was Captain Picard playing
really?
In the X-Men. Yeah. Because, well, I mean, not that the characters were the same, but you always identify actors with their, like, most iconic role, and that's kind of how you look at it. Like, it's always Wolverine was in The Greatest Showman, or, you know.
Right.
And so, to me, that's how I looked at it. It was like, it was always Jean-Luc Picard, oh, he's going to play this guy or that guy. Well, I guess now Picard's back, so I can't say this, but I was going to say his tenure as Xavier was almost as long as his tenure as Picard. But right. Now that Picard's back on the screen, he's got, you know, his tenure extends now another 20 years. But because you could almost say he was Picard, Xavier longer than he was Picard. But yeah, he just, I don't know, he disappears into the role. Like, I think he was perfectly cast as Charles Xavier.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine anybody else.
But that's
even young James McAvoy. Doesn't feel like he has to be shoehorned into that role to me, but Patrick Stewart is Picard, you know.
Xavier. Yeah. Xavier. Yeah. And that's the thing is I never knew him as Picard. So when they cast him, I was like, that's perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing he was missing was the wheelchair.
Right.
And they gave him one. So
yeah,
dead on.
They did. But see, I like the. You know, now kind of comparing the two franchises, like, obviously I like the Patrick Stewart Xavier much more, but I prefer the younger Michael Fassbender version of Magneto to Ian McKellen. Even though I like Ian McKellen as an actor, like, you know, obviously I love him as an actor, but he doesn't feel as vital.
Really?
Like, you know, he doesn't feel as tough. You know what I mean? Like,
well, he's Magneto. Older. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, for some reason, I like the Michael Fassbender version of Magneto more than the older version. But, and I think, I guess if I was to compare, you know, all the characters, you know, I like Halle Berry Storm more than, I don't even know who plays her in the, you know, in the other movies. But I can't say that for most of the rest of them. I think the younger cast, I like the Cyclops better. And I like, as much as I like Rebecca Romijn, I like the Jennifer Lawrence version of Mystique better too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I like one better than the other because I do like Jennifer Lawrence's, you know, Mystique, but I mean, Rebecca Romijn, that was epic.
Well, it was. Back. Yeah. Still is, I mean, but.
I like Sophie Turner as Jean Grey, but I also.
Well, and that was the thing too, because. I like Famke Janssen. I like her quite a bit too, but when I was watching this movie, now it seemed a little like I was expecting to see the Sophie Turner. I don't know why, like, she embodied the role a little bit more for me than.
You know what's funny is I was going to.
Famke Janssen. Although I haven't seen
Dark Phoenix
yet, and I almost suggested we do that this week instead, but I was halfway through this one, and I had that thought, and I almost texted you. But I was like, I've already put the work in and I've watched half of this movie, so.
All the work.
Let's just do this one.
All the work.
But we, you know, now that Dark, because I don't want to pay for Dark Phoenix, but now that it's streaming for free on Netflix, I think we should do that.
I saw it in the theaters.
Yeah, I didn't.
That would be a fun one to do. I think we should wait. We're so X-Men heavy. For a while now, I was thinking we should take a break because what did we do? Last week we had Deadpool. We did Picard the week before that, but then we had done Logan earlier. So we're
we can wait, but I haven't watched it yet and I'm going to wait to watch it until we're going to do it for the show.
Good idea.
Yeah. I'm not going to, because I don't want to watch it twice. So
that's what I'm saying. But what I was going to say is I think the, you know, Famke Janssen's character, I don't think there was a lot of character development to her.
There wasn't.
She basically just walked around and there was that underlying power that she had that obviously gets exposed in three.
Well, and that's the whole thing too, and I haven't seen three for a while, so maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but like, do they really explain how she got the, like, because in this movie she just has the Phoenix Force, but you don't know where she got it.
Well, you did as a comic book fan.
Well,
as a fan,
you know,
and
comics, you know where she got it too. You know,
right?
In the movie, there's no explanation for why she has this ability all of a sudden.
Well, they backtrack. Remember in three?
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's why I just said I haven't seen it for a while, so
okay.
I don't really.
Well, remember Xavier? They go to his house as a child, and Xavier sets blocks up in her mind to block out the power because it was so. Like, she couldn't control it.
Now I remember.
Right. So they kind of backstory it for you. That was one of the things. There was very, very little development and knowledge about her character given in the movies. So as a comic book fan, when you walked out, everybody was like, well, what happens? I'm like, and you knew she wasn't dead.
Well, right.
Right. But everybody else, that if you didn't, if you're just going to the movies and you're like, oh, I can't believe they killed her off. Don't you worry.
Well, I have two different things I want to say, and they're very different from each other.
We don't have a lot of time, so.
So the first thing I was going to say, because you talked about character development, and none of them have that. Like, I don't know how you felt about both of these first two X-Men movies, but really they're just, it's just the Wolverine show with a bunch of other people around him.
Right.
And the only one getting any kind of character development at all is Hugh Jackman in Logan in all of these movies, even though they're supposed to be X-Men movies. So, I mean, I felt that with all of the characters. Like, they all just basically were there to be part of Wolverine's story.
Right.
But the other part of it, the second thing, with both of the X-Men Phoenix movies, again, I just said I haven't seen the second one yet, so I don't know, but neither one of these movies did justice to that story, because that story is so deep that you can't just tell it in one movie. Like, you have to set up the Phoenix saga for a movie. And it has to be a multiple picture thing. Like, you need a whole trilogy based on the Phoenix saga. Because she has to go from being Marvel Girl to Jean Grey to regular Phoenix to Dark Phoenix, you know?
Right.
I mean, there's a progression in the comics that happens over years, like time. And we cram it all into a 2-hour movie.
Because
in both cases, in the old version and the new version, she turns into the Phoenix at the very end of the movie because she's overexerting herself. And then it's the Dark Phoenix saga for 2 hours and it's over. And you just never get the scope of that storyline. So I don't think either one of them will ever do that story justice, because it wasn't set up and developed to do it the way it should be done. And there's so many elements of that story that just get completely omitted from the movies. Like, there's the whole space element, the Shi'ar. Like, there's all kinds of stuff that happened in the Phoenix saga that just never get shown in these movies. And so that's why these movies feel so rushed and disjointed, because they're trying to cobble it together.
Right, but they're not rushed and disjointed because they're X-Men stories. Like, even the X-Men books at the time of, like the Phoenix sagas, the X-Men books were, they had X-Men books.
Right.
And this was a separate story. So, like, what you're saying is, like I wouldn't blame X-Men, X-Men 2, and Last Stand for not developing Jean Grey in the Phoenix as much, because it's an X-Men story. But if you wanted to do a Phoenix saga type story, then yes. And it's like, it's kind of like, almost like if they had, if you have three comic books and it's like, okay, so Last Stand, you needed to be reading the other comic books that go along with this. You see what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
I guess, like, my point is, you don't, they didn't put the work in, so you don't feel the journey, like, you don't care about the ending, because you didn't do the work to get me there. Like, you didn't invest me in this story enough for me to care about her downfall or her tragedy. You know what I mean?
Wait till you see the new one. They kind of do it there, but like you said, it needs to be a saga, and it wasn't. It's a 2-hour.
To me, I just don't get the buy-in. Like, I don't get the significance, or I don't care about it enough, because you didn't take me there. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You didn't build it for me. You know, again, like, I'll say it for the third time. I can't really talk about the new one because I haven't seen it, but I've heard a lot of bad things about it, so I can't imagine they did it justice.
Yeah, I don't think that you're going to be happy with it.
Oh, I don't expect to be.
But I think it has all the elements. It's just I think your opinion of that one's going to be, it's rushed. Like, they shouldn't have done this. It should have been like 2 or 3 movies. But back to this one, the whole, like, Jean Grey in this movie, it was, there was no development of it. And then at the end, it was like, oh, and it, so this was the one where you kind of know where the next story is going to go.
Right.
And we knew, you know, all right, there's a tie in. You don't even need to see this one to see the next one. It's just another story on its own, because they give you all the backstory. But what got us down this road is you liked the Sophie Turner Jean Grey better, because I thought they developed that character more.
Right.
In that series, whereas this one, she was just another character walking around. There was very the only big backstory they gave you was her relationship with, you know, Cyclops.
Right.
And that was it. And you had the, you know, the love triangle going. That was it.
Right.
And speaking of love triangle, I thought there was going to be more, and this goes to the credit of, like, this movie's a standalone. There was very little left over about Rogue from the first one. Like, the first movie seemed very Rogue-centric.
Yeah.
And then this one, she was just another character.
Yeah.
Along for the ride, you know? Now she has a boyfriend. And, you know, very little. It didn't really, like, first movie was more about her, and the second movie is...
Well, I think it was Rogue-centric because she was the ultimate cog in the machine that they were trying to build, that Magneto was trying to
build.
That's
what I mean, yeah.
But I don't think her character development was necessarily stronger in the first one than the second one.
Well, you kind of got an origin story about her.
Yeah, I just think she was more front and center because she was a piece of the puzzle, you know, like I said, for the bad guys to use.
No, but that's what I mean. It's like you were right earlier in that it's all Wolverine.
Right.
The entire, you know, these three movies, they're all Wolverine is the central main character and everything is revolving around him. And in the first one, it was Rogue. And they even did the switcheroo on you where you thought it was, you know, Magneto was focused on Wolverine, but really he was there to grab Rogue. And then this one, I mean, who's the main character in this one? I mean, it's Wolverine. You know, it starts with him back at Alkaline Lake.
Right.
Actually, is he there? Where is he at the beginning?
He's at Alkali Lake.
And then he goes back there with everybody?
Right, because remember, he says he was there, but he didn't see anything. It was abandoned. Yep. And then they were that's because it's all underground. But yeah, it was all about it. Because, you know, even Stryker.
Right.
It was all about his relationship with Logan. They're all very Logan-centric. Because, you know, Wolverine is the favorite character. He's the same way in the comics. You know,
right?
I mean, Wolverine appears in every other comic that's out every month.
Yeah,
it was kind of the same way in these movies. And I was going to say, you can't even say Hugh Jackman was the biggest name because, I mean, Patrick Stewart was probably a bigger name than Hugh Jackman, but, you know, definitely the most popular character and actor in any of these movies.
I would say Halle Berry was just as big as Hugh Jackman at the
time.
Yeah,
maybe so.
Ian McKellen,
Lord of the Rings. You're trying to sell tickets. You know, everybody's coming to see Hugh Jackman. So.
Oh, yeah.
Or Halle Berry.
I was going to say, I'm like, Halle Berry?
Yeah.
Did you see them together in Swordfish?
I did, as a matter of fact.
Kind of a different role for the two
different,
of them.
Different movie, yeah. But I liked it. It was illuminating.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. That's one way of putting it.
Yeah.
I actually like Brian Cox as William Stryker. I was disappointed they didn't continue with him in the later movies.
Yeah.
You know,
I like Brian Cox anyways because he's a great actor. But, yeah, he did a great job as Stryker.
I mean, obviously they couldn't use him in the other ones where he's younger.
Right.
But, I mean, in the Wolverine origin movies and stuff, they definitely could have. I'm sure they could have.
Yeah, they could have. Well, I don't know if they had as much CGI magic that they could have used as they do now, but.
Yeah, but they didn't have it, so we weren't expecting it. They could have just make-upped him younger.
Right.
And we would have been fine with it. You know what I mean?
Just color his hair black and,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
How they used to do it.
Yeah, and we would have been fine with that.
Give him some contact lenses and dye his hair, and we would have been okay with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they could have definitely done that. I found myself, too, like, I don't know why this stuck out to me, but it really bothered me. Like, the whole mechanism for Wolverine's claws, like... Metal is, there's no mechanical pieces built into Wolverine. Like, the metal comes off of his bone claws that he has, and they're covered in adamantium. And that's how they retract in and out of his hands. But then, when they got to Lady Deathstrike, I was like, how the hell are those claws coming out of her fingertips? Like, what mechanism is in place that's protruding these metal claws out of her fingertips? It really bothered me, because... Like, if they're solid pieces of metal, how is she bending her fingers,
John's
right?
Back.
Well, like, she can't bend her fingers if there's metal inside embedded in her fingers.
COVID-19 couldn't keep them down long. John is back.
And what mechanical mechanism is in place to protrude these things from her fingers? So it really bothered me. I don't know why.
I love it.
But I need that explained to me by somebody.
So you're okay with... God, this is great. So you're okay with three giant claws retracted that are like a foot long each, retracting back into a 6-inch hand halfway up his forearm. Yeah. You wouldn't even be able to bend your wrists. That's cool.
I'm okay
cool.
with that. Yeah, I'm okay with that part of it.
Just trying to get clarity here before I give you a rebuttal.
Like, I'm not trying to say, like, obviously it doesn't make sense, but at least the foundation is there. Like, they're built on the bones. Like, there's something there for them to be adhered to. Like, what's in her fingers, like, that's protruding out? Like, does she have bones that stick out of her hand, too? Like, I need the Lady Deathstrike origin movie so I can see...
Yeah, I know why you need that.
What the basis of this is.
First off, you know mutants aren't real, right?
I do know that.
Okay.
But in the context of the mutant world, it still doesn't make sense to me.
So maybe she can grow. Maybe she can grow her... I don't know, because I've never known how the claws work. His claws. Because they... You have to, it's a leap of faith. It's a, you know,
right,
whatever
but at least
you want to call
it. In the Wolverine origin movies, they at least show the basis of it with the bones.
Right. But even like, the bones don't fit. It's like, if all of a sudden I stuck like a 1 foot rod into my hand, it would be halfway up my arm. I'd be walking around like I couldn't bend my wrist.
I know. I get that.
But... And now we're going to strengthen that with adamantium.
But at least the foundation is there. Whether it makes sense or not, there's a foundation there.
So what
but
you're
with
looking
her fingers,
for...
I'm looking for the foundation. Like, what is the metal sticking to that's coming out of her fingertips? You know,
I don't know. Yeah. It's the same idea. It's like they all retract back, but apparently are bendy when they're on the inside.
They're bendable, yeah. I don't know.
Oh, here you go. This is right from the movie. It all works in. So... When the adamantium is in her body, it gets heated back up to that pliable.
No,
so then it's
that,
bendable. Because... And then when it comes out, it's cooling off. And that's how she gets. I'm just trying to make up a backstory.
Yeah, I don't buy that,
that
because the way he
the
kills her is by injecting that into her body. See? And it cools and kills her.
Look at
so
this.
We know
you
that.
You are right, John. You are correct.
Keep,
that's
yeah,
a great rebuttal.
So.
I think we're getting into our initials. The bright side's initials here.
Yeah, BS.
Going back.
I mean, we have to have something to talk about. So.
I don't, well, this is true comic book store conversation right
now.
It
definitely
is. Like, where do those bones go?
I want to know. Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah. That was actually an episode of Big Bang on that, whether he had bone claws in the comics or not.
I don't remember. I think that was retconned into the comics from the movie. Because when I saw that movie,
I didn't remember it either.
I don't remember ever knowing that before.
But
I don't remember that ever being a thing.
Now, I'm not saying Big Bang is all facts, but according to that episode, they said that it did go back and there was a story that was before the movie.
Maybe there was. I just don't remember it.
I don't remember it either.
Because, again, in the comics, I didn't remember him being alive in the Civil War in the comics either. Like,
no.
When that was in the movie, I thought they were kind of...
I always thought in the comics, and they said it in X-Men 1, we don't know when he was born. And that's the way I grew up with Wolverine is we didn't know how old he was. And my origin of him, the version I knew, was when he always could heal, but when he got the adamantium, they gave him the claws. He never had claws until he got, like, the adamantium is those... According to my origin as a kid, I always thought that there was no bone. It was always adamantium.
Yeah, I didn't remember that either. I thought that was something that was made up for the movie.
Right.
But like I said, now they've retconned it into the comics because newer comics reference the bones.
Right.
But I didn't remember that ever being a thing. Maybe
according
it was,
to Big Bang Theory, they and usually they're pretty good about that stuff.
They usually do research that. Yeah, it's probably true.
There was some story at some point, because they had a bet on it, I think, or something on the show, like the characters did. But that was a good one, though. That was good. Do you have any other ones that you find unbelievable? Because John,
I do,
it's,
actually.
It's weird. You've been so accommodating lately with like
my other
unreal
one.
Facts.
Yeah. Well, facts. Here's my other one, and I don't know if you could even argue with this either.
I'll give it my best shot.
When Magneto is making his great escape from the plastic prison,
yep.
He pulls all the iron out of the guy's body, and it's enough to make three, I don't know what you would say
yep.
size those three balls were, but they were like the size of a big gumball. I mean, they weren't huge, right?
Right.
But when he needs to get across the bridge, somehow he can flatten that little ball into a disc that's like, you know,
yeah.
3 feet around so he could stand on it. There wasn't enough metal in that little ball to make a disc that big.
Depends on how flat you make it. Depends on how flat you make it. I could go with that. You could roll something out. It depends on, you can make anything expand. It's just how thick it has to be.
Yeah. And I don't know. I was like, that seems like a lot of metal to get a disc that big that he could stand on it and, you know, float across.
I know what you're saying, but that doesn't bother me. And that I could see making that flat. It could be a mesh. Could be a really fine mesh.
Well, it could be,
all it has to do
pretty,
is hold them up.
Reflective, it looked pretty reflective and solid when he was making it, but
yeah, that's not a big deal.
Well, you asked, so
no,
I wasn't gonna bring it up, but
no,
you asked. I don't even know if he could have that much iron in his blood and still be alive to make those three balls to begin with.
Well, I don't even know if it was really iron. I think that's just what he was saying. But
well, yeah, be any heavy metal, I guess, but.
When Mystique does that to him, I love that the dress she's wearing is like her skin color.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. It's like some blue leather, but it was actually her skin color. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
So we're done with the John-isms?
I think so.
Okay. So the last thing, or maybe the last thing, I don't know, so let's see where this goes.
Well, so right, we might not be.
Right, exactly. So one of the funny things is, like we were saying earlier, we were talking about Femke Janssen's Jean Grey, and you and I were talking earlier, like these characters, there's not a lot of development of any of these characters. Right. I mean, we got a little bit of Professor, not much. Most of Logan or Wolverine is all like, we don't know, but we know as fans. But I mean, in the movie itself, they're not telling us anything. And when was the last time you could say we're two movies into a series, we loved both movies, and we have like zero character development? It's so story centric,
right?
That we don't even mind that by the end of it, we're like, we don't even know any of these characters. Cause like Scott Summers in Cyclops, who's a huge part of the X-Men universe.
Right.
He's like
he's such a complex character in the comics that is so underserved in these movies.
Every character is underserved.
All of them, right. And that's what I'm saying. They all really are, but. Like, his arc in the comics is one of the more interesting character arcs out of all of them, you know, because he goes from kind of good guy to bad guy to good guy to bad guy. You know, his motivations aren't always pure.
Right.
But he comes off in this movie as as just a big Boy Scout and really has no development beyond that. And most of them are the same way. Like, you just don't get to know any of these characters all that much. So, yeah, I guess to answer your question, I can't think of too many series of movies where you get two movies deep and you don't really know who any of the characters are.
Right. It's almost like they made these movies and said, we don't need to tell anybody everything because if you're going, you're an X-Men fan. So we're just going to tell an X-Men story and let the viewer fill in the stories about each individual character.
Right.
I never even noticed that until you and I were talking about it.
I didn't either. And, you know, because there's major X-Men characters that just appear as bit parts in this. Like Kitty Pryde,
yeah.
You know, doesn't have any kind of role at all, but you know exactly who it is when you're watching the movie because, you know, you've read it in the comics. But if you're not a comic book reader, you didn't know who, you don't know that's Kitty Pryde. You don't really know about Colossus either. Like
Right.
You know, he has a bit of a role in this movie, but he's not named and he's not.
He's shown. But he's and shown. We were hoping we got more of that.
Exactly. Because at that time we hadn't had Deadpool yet. So,
right.
You know, we didn't have Colossus on screen and you're like, oh, that's Colossus. He's like, you know, one of the core characters and core members of that team. And just didn't even show up at all. So, you know, kind of, I don't really remember what got me on that, but I guess just talking about, you know, the development of these characters, and yeah, there wasn't any, you know.
Do you know Hank McCoy was in this?
I heard his name. Yeah, I heard him mentioned. It's at one point. I remember them saying something about McCoy, but I don't remember him being like visibly present. Like, who did
there's
an actor
that is credited as playing him.
Oh, I don't remember seeing him at all.
No, and that's what I'm saying. There's another big character that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I didn't even know he was in it.
And I just remember hearing
like Dr. Hank McCoy, and you're like, really?
I just remember hearing that name in passing, but I don't remember ever actually seeing him on screen. And like you said, yeah, another founding member of the X-Men that wasn't even part of the movie at all.
Right. But then getting back to like the main characters of the movie were barely.
Right. They were barely developed.
Developed at all. It really is a movie based on your knowledge. And we're going with that, and that's it. And it's like, it's funny. And like I said, until we started talking about it, you're like, I imagine another movie coming out. You know, I guess it would be like if Avengers came out without all of the movies before it.
Right.
It really would, right?
Right, because the Avengers movie itself doesn't do any development of any of those characters.
No, because it's already been done in the previous movies.
Right.
And would that fly today?
I don't know. Look, Justice League didn't, so.
Good call. You know? Yeah, so.
Because that's the cousin to the Avengers, right? That didn't work.
Right. Yeah.
So. Because again, they were kind of banking on you having knowledge of all of these characters.
Right.
From the outside.
Right. And what ends up happening is everybody gets upset. Like, if you have, nowadays, if you have the knowledge, you're mad they didn't give it to you. They didn't show you what you have in your head.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then if they do show it to you, it's got to be accurate to what you, because that's not what you wanted when you walked in.
Right.
But now go back to 2003. This is the second movie. We'd had Spider-Man, but we were still so starved for comic book content.
We've kind of been spoiled by a formula.
Right.
You know, and now we expect everything to follow that formula. And, you know, they're not always going to, but everything is judged against that backdrop now. Unfairly, maybe, to some degree. Because
I think so, because I enjoy Justice League.
Not everything has to follow that roadmap that was set out, but that's kind of what we've come to expect.
Well, that's the irony. You know? If you follow the roadmap, you get accused of just copying.
Right.
If you don't follow it, you get accused of not doing it well enough.
Right. Not putting in the development and doing the work. Well, but again, that's how we are.
Yep.
So the collective we, not just me and you. The royal we.
That's royal. All right, is that all we have?
I think so.
I think we broke new ground on a movie from 2003.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard that conversation.
And don't ever want to again.
No, I mean the part about the character development or lack thereof.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we won't do X-Men 2 again. It'll be a while.
I thought you were talking about the finger claws.
Oh. No, that was fun. We need more of that, John. Yeah. We need to get Nudie and Pretzel back. It's been a long time since.
You know what my favorite part of that whole scene was, though? The metal clunk when she hit her head on the bottom of the fish tank. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah. And you know what's so funny? I think I remember even thinking it at the time when it hit. You know, her head, that is.
Yeah.
I think they had to put that in to emphasize that she had been filled with that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it was nice that it came out
because
of her eyes.
Because the tears oozing out of her eyes wasn't enough.
Right. But then it also, it didn't wash away when she went underwater because it's now adamantium
hardened. Right.
But then that final, like, if you didn't understand everything yet, clunk.
Yeah. <the bottom. laughs> I thought that was great, though.
Yeah. Now, Mike, here's the question I had. Is she still alive and just stuck? Because she has that whatever the word is. I'm not going to try. You know, she can regenerate. Is she under there stuck because she's just one solid piece of adamantium and she's there forever?
Do her organs still function, I guess, would be the question. Like, what's keeping her alive?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. My indication, I thought she was probably dead.
Yeah.
because the adamantium would have stopped. Because
that would be a horrible
internal organ.
Oh,
it would.
Yeah. Like you can't go anywhere and you're a statue for the rest of your life, but you're still alive.
Yeah,
that'd
be the worst way to go.
Yeah. Or not go. You're not
or
gone.
Or not go, right. Right. I guess like if you're frozen by the Medusa, are you still alive in there?
You're just stuck in there.
Because, you know, you see people thawing out. So, like, is Han Solo still aware when he's frozen in carbonite?
Well, judging by the way he came out, no.
I would say no, but he wasn't dead. Nope. So, like, if his mind I don't know if his mind's still working or not, because that would be a horrible fate.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's probably like being asleep.
Yeah.
I have one question for you I've been dying to hear, but let's get to the wrap up first. So that's all we have on X-Men. Okay. Let us know your thoughts on X-Men. You can tweet at us at brightside_chat. You can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. Check out all the great podcasts at Nerdy Legion. Rate, review, subscribe, all that fun stuff. I'm dying to get to this question.
Okay.
How was your lasagna the other day?
Oh, I was just saying, I'm like anticipating what this question is going to be.
I know. You told me you made, the other day we talked and you were like, I'm making a lasagna for Easter and
I'm really not to toot my own horn. How did it come out? It was amazing. Oh, yeah, it was actually really good. We had it again last night and you know what? Lasagna is one of those things that's better reheated.
Yeah.
Like not everything is, but right. Pasta gets better when it's reheated. And yeah, it was even better last night. As a matter of fact,
can you ship one of those? Is that
I might. We'll cross in the mail because again, I'm going to need some hot dog buns and some hermits pretty soon.
Forget the hot dog buns. I'll trade you.
Oh, look at that! I'll flash freeze the lasagna and mail it to you.
There you go. Yeah, that's right. I got to get you some hot dog buns and what was the other thing? Oh, hermits. The hermit cookies.
Well, the thing is, and it's not funny because we're all it's sequestered, but
right.
It was just Lydia and I. And like the batch of pasta, the sauce that I make, like I guess I could have like trimmed it down, but we have 8 Tupperware things full of sauce in my freezer. Like I almost ran out of freezer space because this is food for like an army. You know, when I make this, there's usually like 25 of us here to eat it.
Yeah.
And I made the same batch for just her and I. So
you couldn't drop it off or have people come doorstop pickup?
Right? Well, I figured what I was going to do
is family's pretty close, right? Driving.
Yeah.
Distance.
Well, I figured we would thaw it all out when we could get together. And that's why I didn't make a smaller batch because really the work is the same.
Right.
It's just opening more cans, you know, so. Yeah. I was like, I'm just going to make my normal size batch and freeze it. And that way when we can all get together, you know, I can thaw it out and we can have a big meal. But it's like,
I'm dying for
it.
It
might not make it that long.
No. So you were telling me how you make it the other day. And I was like, you're like, I've been making the sauce since yesterday.
The bad part is like, normally I post pictures of this stuff when I'm making it, but I didn't want any of my family to know that I made this. And they weren't invited, so I didn't post anything online. Right. You know, usually I take pictures of the lasagna and stuff, and I didn't because I didn't want anybody to know.
You just want strangers to be envying it, not your family.
Exactly. Not my family.
You don't want people that actually know your address.
Right.
No.
Exactly. Well, because I didn't want them to feel bad that they weren't going to be able to have it.
I feel bad now. I know your address.
I know.
Can't wait.
Well, when you come to visit, I'll make one.
Flights are cheap right now.
Whenever that might be.
Exactly. All right. That's it for this week. Next week, we got, you know what? Do you want to, we've been messing around with it. We've mentioned it a bunch of times. You want to do Blade next week?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I haven't watched that movie in forever.
I haven't watched it either.
That's one I can
tell
you, and I have a good story to go with it when we do it, but we could do Blade next week. Next Monday, we'll do Blade.
Yep.
That'll be a good one.
I'll break that up.
It's out on 4K yet.
I don't know. I don't think so.
It doesn't matter.
I don't even think I have it on Blu-ray. I'm going to have to pull out my DVD and watch it.
All right. Well, everybody stay safe. Until next time, I don't know what that will... Oh, tomorrow, I know, but who knows what it'll be. But, all right, take it easy, everybody.
Take care.
Hey, Fred.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.